Angel mystic Atira was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember. And now she connects you with spirit as the angels answer your questions on past lives, passed over loved ones, dreams, relatives, workplace, and spiritual experiences. Atira is an Edgar Cayce Foundation handpicked psychic and is featured in The Days of Wonder by G.W. Hardin. Atira's magical, uplifting, worldwide readings are just $100 for 45 minutes, which includes an audio tape. Email angelreadings@angelscribe.com. That's angelreadings@angelscribe.com for an appointment, or go to Atira's website at angelscribe.com. For metaphysical, straight talk from the heart, it's Atira, Angel Mystic.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And today I'm going to interview an amazing author. But not only that is she an amazing author, she's an incredible columnist. She has so many talents. But the most famous thing to date is her cats. So welcome, Angel Scribe, Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, to the airwaves.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'd like to get as famous as my cats are.
Yeah, it's interesting. It started out as just loving your animals and kind of got away from you.
Well, you know what I wanted my animals to do? I tell them that their job is to make people smile. And if I can show their photo, I just put a cute one up on my website of Mr. E. When he saw himself and he heard himself mewing on the swimming video, he came over to the computer, he sat on the messy desk, and he watched it four times in a row.
Yeah, but we have to preface this. First of all, one reason I wanted to interview Mary Ellen today is because at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, everyone has to run frantically to your TV and turn on Evening Magazine to watch Mary Ellen and her swimming cats. And how this came about was when Mary Ellen moved to Cottage Grove, Oregon. What was she thinking? Away from Seattle, Washington.
Sorry.
She was
thinking sun, Atira.
She bought a house with a swimming pool. And because Mary Ellen's, you know, cats are her babies, she had a great fear of them running across the yard chasing something and not watching about the pool and falling in. Because animals do that. Animals, I mean, you know, I've actually heard and read a couple stories of little dogs falling in and different animals falling into these pools. And
we
drowning.
Have a lot of butterflies in our yard. And it's so funny, in the clip I posted on the website that will be on Evening Magazine tonight, they actually caught Nimbus chasing a butterfly.
Yeah, because the animals chase, they're focused on what they're after, not what's under their feet. You know,
exactly.
a lot of us, when we're walking, we're looking down. That's why we get hit by the bus. But So it really became out of a caring thing, wanting to make sure if the cats fell in, they could get to the edge of the pool. So tell us a little bit about this. Preface it for us so we can get the chance to see it.
Oh, so this summer I cleaned the house for 2 weeks, and then I cleaned the yard for a week. So when the TV crew showed up, I said, I'm so glad you're here. And then they came in and they filmed.
But I want to talk about why you did it.
Oh, why we did it?
Not how it got there.
Oh, I thought you just did. Okay, because we have a pool in our backyard, and I've actually heard of some cats that have drowned, and I didn't want to have any mishaps or come home to anything in my pool that I didn't want to find. So we jacked the heat and the pool up so it would be really warm, because cats, when you wash them, actually, you always make the water warmer than you would even for yourself, because their temperature runs higher. And then we just walked with them into the pool. And now most cats will go up over your shoulder and over the top of your head, just trying to stay on, you know, something that's dry.
So it's good to clip the claws before you.
Yeah, clipping claws is good.
Swim.
But we've never been mean to our cats, and they don't expect us to do anything to cause them harm. So.
Well, and you weren't being mean about this. You were really just trying to teach them that if something happened, they could get out.
Yeah, I just walked them in very calmly, and I could feel them go like, oh no, and lean into me. But they just stayed there because they knew that nothing would harm them as long as they were with me. And so I walked them into the pool, so they were up to their necks. And then their little feet started to run like, well, I want
cat
to get
paddle. Instead of dog paddle, cat paddle.
It was kind of like, I want to get the hell out of here, paddle. They move just like a dog. And the longer we held them, and I just held them with ease and comfort,
right.
I could feel a shift in the way their front paws were moving. They became stronger and more self-assured. And it was almost like ballerinas. It was so beautiful. And then when I released the cat, we let it swim about a foot, and then I caught it, and it realized, hey, my head didn't go under the water, and it was comfortable. And then it was safe in my arms again. So we did that about five different times. And honest to goodness, with each of our five cats, around the fifth time of catch and release, they were so strong, I had to swim after them to catch them.
So let's talk about one of the important things is to make sure you keep your pool filled, though.
Yes.
Because what happens?
What happens is when the water evaporates or it gets splashed out with cannonballs, when a dog or a cat is in a pool, especially the round ones, it can swim, but it'll never be able to reach up and get out because during the summer, near the end of the summer, when one of the film crews came, Miss Wings, who's only 5 pounds, reached up to get the edge of the pool. She was 1 inch too short, and she went straight down, a foot and a half with these big wide eyes going underwater. Mm. And so if you have a round pool, just for precautionary sake, make a little ladder or some kind of platform that'll hang over so that if something falls in, it doesn't matter what it is, mm-hmm. you don't even want to come out to a little mouse in your pool, give it the opportunity to be able to climb out.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you keep it full enough, what happens is, as they swim around, they can just reach up, grab the edge, and
they
pull themselves out.
Right.
And so it was with concern that we wanted to teach our cats how to swim. But what's turned out so great is taking photos of them. They've been in magazines. They've been in the British Your Cat magazine. They've been in 3 newspapers, I think, and now 2 TV shows. They've been on Fox News. It's been so fun. And I've always told them their job is to make people smile.
Well, the nice thing, though, too, Mary Ellen, is that it's really a service because
mm-hmm.
people don't think about that. I mean, in most states now, I know in Florida, because my sister lives there, she doesn't have a pool, but because friends of theirs do have a pool, they actually, even if you have an indoor pool now, you have to have, like, a gate thing around it so little kids can't get in and stuff. But people don't think about cats. Cats climb. Cats get over
mm-hmm.
things. Even some of those little wiener dogs can get in, you know, the small dogs can get in there.
And dogs chase cats.
Right, right, and can get through some of those little fences. Because the fences are really designed for the kids. They're not designed thinking about animals necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it is really, I think, very, very important. And in Florida and California, a lot of places, they'll have their yards fenced in the back. You know, but that doesn't, and it keeps kids out. But not necessarily cats and animals. So
we have a lot of stray cats going through getting drinks of water out of our pool. Our cats love to watch them, too. It's entertainment.
No, so it's a really great and important service, especially where, you know, places that are hot, Nevada, California, Florida, mm-hmm. all those places.
So it's educational.
Animals.
And the other thing that I decided after the first couple of times they appeared in the newspaper or on TV is it was shocking to realize how many people didn't realize cats could swim. They'd underestimated them.
Well, truthfully, I didn't believe cats could swim because the cats that I had seen fall into water, you know, basically almost drowned had we not been there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I was stunned when I saw yours swim. But the other thing, this whole move to Cottage Grove kind of started because you love your cats so much, and Miss Wings was truly, you know, your miracle cat that came all the way across the country to find you.
Mm-hmm.
It really started another avenue of your career of, you know, following synchronicities and trusting spirit to provide things. Because a lot of people think, because we're such good friends, and most people know that Mary Ellen runs our website, which is angelscribe.com, and is the person who does the bookings for me. Most people assume we met in kindergarten, that
we fell
off the turnip truck together. But the truth is, we actually have only known each other maybe 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it really started the magic friendship for us is that we actually met through synchronicity, through your angel writings.
Yes, and we were instant best friends.
Yeah. Well, I waited 35,000 years. You're a little late.
Okay, let's not wait so long next time.
Yeah. We were actually at a event that happened once a week in our local area, and you would go there to hear other clairvoyants and hear talks, and it was put on by Lou Jaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't remember what she called it anymore.
Yes, the Psychic Showcase.
Showcase. And
Every time that you gave a reading, every time other people gave a reading, they were critical. You need to, you should have. Or it was wishy-washy, like, well, you know what, or I'll leave you with that, and the people are left in sheer confusion. You'd stand up, and you go wham, bam, slam, and you give this great reading with details and with kindness and compassion and sit down. But the room was so crowded, by the time I looked up from what I was doing, you had sat down. And for 3 or 4 weeks, I kept thinking, who is that nice person? And, you know, I think you'd fade into the crowd.
Well, because I wasn't very public. I was really observing still a lot then. I was not really ready to really, I don't know, go in a public direction. Even though in other parts of the world, I was doing my work.
So you're international designer with your beadwork.
You know, so it's interesting synchronicities. But the interesting synchronicity for me was you did angel writings at that time, and you would pass them out. And I can remember taking out of a folder that probably had 200 writings in it,
mm-hmm.
A angel writing, and I looked at it, and I started to read it. But what struck me the most is that it had an Egyptian scarab on the paper. And I can remember calling you back saying, excuse me, come back here. And look, and asking you to look through all these pages, and I just flipped through them, and there was not one other piece of paper with that symbol on it.
No, I think out of 1,000 writings, it was the only page.
Yeah, it was so synchronistic that I go, what are the odds, you know, scarab?
Well, your listeners need to know why the scarab meant so much to you.
Yeah, because I imported from Egypt for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and I had been there probably 14 or 16 times. I kind of lost track at the end. And so for me, that was, you know, anything that had to do with the Egyptian stuff was very symbolic. So that was the first thing. And then when I called you back, I started reading more of these incredible angelic writings. And I said, this should be a book.
Yeah, and you said that the world needs them now. You shouldn't wait. And then literally, she took me by the hand almost. She lived in Seattle. I lived in Gig Harbor, and we met in Tacoma. And we met at a Kinko's, and she gave me at that time, which was a lot of money, well, still is, $50, to put towards photocopying. And then I said, well, how many books should we do? We just met. I didn't know how magical you were, and you said 25. And I thought, 25? That'll take me forever to get rid of. Now, we sold 4 before we left the store.
Yeah, we had sold 4 before we left Kinko's. So, you know, yeah. So it really is, today's show is really about trusting, asking spirit to provide synchronicities, and really kind of our story, because I think we've done a few interviews, but I don't think we've ever really told anybody how long we've known each other, because someone the other day that I thought would surely knew how long, you know, we'd known each other really was stunned, because they really
mm-hmm.
did think we
and that we live 6 hours apart, a 6-hour drive.
Yeah, I know everybody thinks we live down the street, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's a long ways. We don't get to see each other as much as we would really like, but spirit does provide. So first of all, you're in Gig Harbor, and you're a housewife,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing these writings, and thank God your mother bought you the computer so you could start typing them out into the computer. But it really started then, the whole Angel Scribes, your books and everything else. And I think for a lot of people who are at home thinking, oh, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or, oh, I'm an older person, and I just can't do the things I used to do, or I'm retired, and now what? And, oh, my God, and poor me, and we get stuck in those things. And I wish I could say I was exempt, but we do get sort of depressed.
You know, I didn't start out to be Angel Scribe, and I didn't start out to...
Actually, you had health problems when we met, too.
Yeah, I could barely breathe.
Right. She had mm-hmm. a life-threatening asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like she went out and did a 9-to-5 job. It was just wasn't in her ability.
But I could sit at the computer and plunk away, and I would go into the angel chat rooms, and everybody was talking about body functions and stupid stuff, and I'd be going, where are all the angel people? See, I thought angel people should be like you and me and the listeners. And people were just misusing the site. And because I had the angel writings, I just would pick one off the top that, or the one I had written that morning, and start to type it in. And I got to be Well, I felt manipulative because I thought if they're changing the energy into heavy and nasty, I'm going to try and see if I can lighten it up like Pollyanna and make it all bubbly and friendly and effervescent.
By the way, I don't think that that's necessarily manipulative. I think that we have to have choices. And one of the things I want to talk about is that sometimes when you go into a place that's negative, it's a conscious choice, A, to stay there, or B, to change the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You just made a conscious choice to change the energy.
You bet I did. And so I'd start typing it up, and pretty soon one or two, all of the people who were talking silly talk, they would slow down. Nobody was responding because I'd look in a website where they said there was 25 people in this chat room. There was only two or three people talking. I thought, well, the other people are probably sitting here watching like me, waiting for something intelligent. So I decided to give it to them. Well, within minutes, people started commenting on the writings and saying how beautiful they were and how did they get them. And honest to goodness, I'd never sent an email in my life. And so somebody actually had to teach me. Her name was Halo Eyes. She had to teach me how to send an email. And she was the first person on my mail list. And then other people would ask on, I call it the mail list, for 3 months. And after 3 months, I think I had 1,000 people on it.
Well, you know, it is interesting, too, because actually I've never been in a chat room.
Mm.
I'm not very computer literate. That's one reason I don't do readings over the Internet, because I'm also dyslexic and don't type. But what I want to give to my audience is that everything is a window of opportunity and conscious choice, that if you're at home, if you're retired or you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a person that has some disabilities, the Internet has opened up a whole new avenue, whole new world to be creative, to do good deeds. You don't have to have money. Some days a good deed is telling somebody they're valued and that they should be here and they're important. I really realized that I was actually just cleaning my office, which is a scary thought, I'm sure, because I'm a person, it's hard to get rid of things, and I especially cards, because they mean so much to me.
Well, they carry the energy of the person.
Of the person, that's it. And I was having to go through cards, and I realized that we don't send cards much anymore because we have the emails, and you know, and I don't even like email cards very much. Sorry, everyone out there, but the reason is because the minute you get an email card, you get 1,000 more spams.
That's right.
With it, which is a sad thing. But I was really looking at my clients are so amazing because a few years ago when I was very ill and Mary Ellen had posted on the site because I had to have downtime. You know, they were incredible, the outpouring, and I was just sitting here reading, you know, how people said I changed their life, and I thought, mm-hmm. you know, how amazing they changed my life when they sent that card. And so I really think that we need to think about how we communicate. I think the Internet's a wonderful avenue, but I also think sometimes we still need to spend, now that I think it's 54 cents, to send cards or to let people know in whatever way you can.
And they're valuable.
If you can't afford the card, mm-hmm. make the phone call, take the time, because you know, that's what we take with us, guys. We don't take the other stuff with us. We take knowledge. We take the love that's shared, the time we spend with people. That's our paying it forward. I want people to know that because I really, really believe, as I have been now doing more work with the elderly, they are the forgotten people of the world. And the sad thing is, you know, someday we're all going to be there. And we all touch lives, and those people who are in their 70s and 80s who have now lost all their friends.
And sometimes their children.
Need you to say, you look nice today in the grocery store. They need you to check on them. There was a wonderful commercial, sad, awful, terrible commercial, but wonderful in that it really drove it home, that they had an older woman in a rocking chair in her home, and it was like, you know, basically a shut-in. And they showed it a few minutes, and then they said so-and-so was going to call and check on her. So-and-so was going to drop something by. So-and-so was going to do this. You know, like five so-and-sos were going to do something. And then you see the vacant chair
mm-hmm.
and the person gone. Don't do that. Make the time.
You know, I have a friend here in town that I'll call her, and, you know, I was calling her once every 6 days. And I realized once that I said, what's wrong with your voice? She says, I haven't talked to anybody for a couple of days. I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, we're just going to have to change that, aren't we?
And you're the person to change that. I got to tell you, Mary Ellen does not know a stranger. And actually, we were gossiping. everything about you, me and several other friends the other day, and that there's a part of us that is very jealous of the angel scribe because there's this wild-like innocence about you and naivety, you know, you're childlike. Children, you know, are very naive, and they'll, like, befriend almost everybody and wave at everybody. Not so much in our society now because we've gotten trained out of it, but...
Well, they could follow me around.
Yeah, but you are that way, and this group of friends and I were all talking, and I said, you know, there are times when I'm so jealous of that because I'm not as spontaneous as I would like to be. And I don't know if that's because of me and Dom, you know, and being told not to be when I was younger because of, you know, Dom says, or what, or I just outgrew it and got, you know, corrupted by the world at large. But I do envy that in you. You do have that ability.
I envy your wisdom not to go and do it. I just blow in there.
Well, between the two of us, we make a perfect match there.
Right, we're the A-team. But the other thing is, everybody's got magic. When I meet somebody new, I'm like, what kind of magic does this person have to teach or share or uplift? You know, everybody's got a special part.
Wouldn't it be wonderful, truly? And you and I talk about this a lot, you know, that it's our conscious choice to be metaphysical and spiritual in every moment and to see the miracles. And so we do try to see what their magic is. But wouldn't it be wonderful if that's what we did instead of seeing, you know, what don't I like about this person or be in judgment the first thing or, you know, be critical? What if we said, what is their magical gift? What are they bringing to us, you know, that we've never seen before, experienced?
That's true. Well, the one thing I wanted to go back to about the Internet is when I said I'd never planned to be the angel scribe. But you know what? Deep in my heart, I held a feeling, and the feeling was like my silent prayer that I carried around as if it was visible outside my body, and it said, I want to help. I want to make a difference. I want to uplift and inspire. And hearing Marianne Williamson's tape where she was so eloquent and powerful and inspirational and wise, I would cry, not at her words, but I would cry because of the need to do what she did, but in my own way, because she was out there doing it, and I thought, come on, God, you know, I'm living in the sticks in Gig Harbor. My daughter's going to school. I was like, there's somewhere in the world. Because they have all, you can feel the power and the energy inside you just wanting to bust out and go out and shine your light somehow.
Well, I also think when people have health issues, you know, they get more a feeling of helplessness or they're not strong. They get detoured from their inward power, their spiritual self. And so I think it's a wonderful medium for people who have those limitations to still be able to impact the world. One of the greatest gifts that's come along with your newsletter is our prayer team.
Yeah.
I love that, and I noticed that many churches and things now have internet prayer teams and hospitals and everything now too, and I think that's a wonderful thing, and people overlook that, and I don't want them to. I want them to look at how they can empower their lives and how they can be a gift to others by praying for another person, by sending healing energy. I'm really blessed. You know, when I inherited you, I inherited some of your friends. And Sid is a wonderful, gifted, long-distance healer, and I love, he knows when I need something, and he'll send energy, and I know I can call him and say, Sid, can you do some energy healing on me? And those are the things, you know, people forget that you can do all these gifts. Everybody has these gifts. Everybody can awaken them and work them and use them and make a difference. And never, never think that your light, yourself, your voice is not a gift to someone. You know, Mary Ellen and I, we really, truly choose to live this kind of life. And Mary Ellen always amazes me because, you know, there's so many things people don't know about her. One of the things I love about her, she sees somebody in need. She really tries to show up. I love you. You take every week, she takes the ladies down the street who is with a walker who is in her early 80s. You take her garbage out to the curb, and then when it's picked up, you take it back to her.
I like to sneak it back and forth.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for 3 years, and I think it was last November, a year ago, she said, are you the little angel that brings my garbage in or out?
And I'm
like, yes. She had no clue.
And it's wonderful when you can do it and nobody knows. I mean, I love that. I do some little things that nobody knows, too, because I because it feeds me, you know. Mm-hmm. They get the benefit too, but nobody has to know either.
Well, it was
sometimes
fun. I just wanted her to, maybe when she wasn't feeling good, go, oh, I've got to go bring in my garbage, and it was like cold or windy or rainy or icy, and then she'd go look outside, it would be already in, you know, just like, oh, a
treat. Well, let me tell you, how do you drag a garbage can when you're walking with a walker, too?
That's right.
I mean, you know, yeah. I'm thinking neck's broken hip.
It's a big one. Also, the other thing is... By the way,
Seattle's in a windstorm. If you're listening from Seattle, Washington State, Oregon, make sure you check on your neighbors, everybody.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I ruined your thought.
I must have been channeling that. I forgot. Oh, yes, about my mother. The way you can tickle people and uplift people with it doesn't really cost much money. Every time I visit her, I take, like, a box of chocolates, and I give it to her and go, gosh darn, that's gone. And then when I get back down to Oregon, she's in Canada, and she goes, oh, I feel like a chocolate. I'll say, oh, well, there's some hidden in your house you're going to have to look for. So for 2 or 3 days, she's got to not hunt around, but when she opens easy cupboards or drawers, she always in the back of her mind, where's my chocolate? Where's my treat? It's like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, it's treasure hunting, yeah.
And today she called up and she goes, oh, I sure feel like a chocolate. So I told her I had taken the box and put it above her washing machine where all her cookbooks are, and I just put it in like a cookbook. So now she's got to go and look at 2 shelves of cookbooks and find the package. So,
but, you know, that's the magic. And people forget that, you know, when we get older, we're children again, and we like those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. We like, you know, I love that sometimes you leave her with a little box of something on her pillow, too.
Oh, yeah, leave a chocolate on her pillow,
right,
just for fun.
You know, it is the magic, the things that we remember. I actually read something on the Internet the other day that I loved, and it was a story about a person that had an oversized shirt. You know, when you were a kid and you used to take one of your dad's old shirts, and it was your paint shirt. You took it to kindergarten so you didn't get paint on your clothes.
Oh, yeah, or as a nightie, it's just as much fun.
Yeah, so there was a story about this lady who went home from college and found a shirt, an oversized shirt, and her mom says, oh, I wore that when I was pregnant with you. Oh, you don't want that. She goes, no, I want it because I want to use it when I'm paid and so forth and so on. And for years, what they did is they would pass it back and forth. It would be like, you know, the daughters for a while, and she'd add something to it, and then it would go back to the mom, and she would hide it at the mom's, and the mom would find it. And it went on for a long, long time until, unfortunately, the mother passed away. And the daughters said, you know, that's like one of her most treasured memories. It's getting very tattered, but she can't wait to start doing the same thing with her daughter. So, you know, we make memories in amazing ways if we would just take the time to make memories for each other and to really live in miracles. And that's what you and I really always talk about, is that, you know, before noon we expect miracles. So, having said all those things, because we've been all over the board, let's go back a little bit to your tips and tales for a minute.
Wait, I want to tattle on you first.
Uh-oh.
Akira is such an amazing medium that, you know, she listens to Dom all the time, and my angel's name's Christos. And so, I arrived up to her house a couple weeks ago, and she goes, Christos is mad at you. I'm like, why? She says, he says, you haven't been talking to him. It's like, oh, my gosh, my angel's telling stories. It's true, I haven't been talking to him. Which takes us back to the fact of a birth angel. When you have a birth angel, they're there to be, you know, called upon and talked to and acknowledged and thanked regularly, so your connection becomes stronger.
Well, there's a little free will clause. You know, we always hear about the free will clause when we want to do something. I'm going to insert the free will clause because I want it to look like this. But the truth is that free will clause works both ways. If you don't ask your angels to work with you, if you don't give them permission, they can't interfere because they cannot be directing our lives. That's not their job. It's a permission thing. So that's why it's very important to ask your angels to work with you.
And we're all going, I want an angel, I want an angel, I want to see an angel, I want to see an angel. And then you get a 111 sign, or like my sister died a year ago this week, and I just pulled an apple from a tree. The only apple on the tree, when I pulled it down, it had one leaf on it. And that was the symbol in our house of my sister. Every time we saw an apple with one leaf, we remember when she was 2 years old and found an apple with a leaf and was so excited. She ran to us and fell down the stairs and didn't care about falling down the stairs. She was so excited at the beauty of this apple with the leaf, and that's what I found today. So there's signs all over that you need to acknowledge and say thank you and smile and be appreciative.
Right. Well, and I also think you should talk to your angels before the car's hanging on the cliff.
Yes, please.
You know, if you watch some of the angel specials, I know I was watching one not too long ago on one of the channels, I think A&E, and I said, why are these all the, you know, umpteenth hour rescues, cars hanging on the cliff, you know, kids in trouble, you know, somebody's in the hospital, da, da, da. And then I said, oh, I get it. That's the only time when they will let go of their egos and say, you know, I don't think I can get out of this one by myself. I better call backup. Yeah, and we need to have be on better terms. You know, I never get in my car without my angels. I mean, I really choose them to be around me all the time.
It's true. And what I love about Atira, her angel says, change lanes. I'm like, okay.
I know. Yeah, we have some really interesting trips, don't we?
Yeah, you're fun. No, you're like taking Tinkerbell on a trip. What's a little magic going to happen next?
It was funny because the other day I was with someone that's kind of a new friend and doesn't really have the track record we have. And we were driving on it, and I forgot, and I go, oh, Dom says we have to move over two lanes, and the person looked at me like,
are you nuts?
Yeah. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, but I really think we should move over two lanes. And we did, thank goodness, and this car just almost, you know, would have probably hit us. So my friend, this person says, who's Dom? And I go, uh-oh. I'm not ready quite to explain that all to this person. But.
Oh, I was so excited, and I loved it when we first met, and you would say that Dom said this and Dom said that because you were so hesitant. And I'm like, well, why is she being hesitant? And I'm like, I loved it. It's like, you know, Harvey the bunny with...
I know some days, some of my worst nightmares is that someday they'll make a movie and I'll be like Harvey, and Harvey the bunny, me and Dom.
It's great. Well, you make spirit real. You make angels real. You make, you know, God real because of the way you're always in prayer and kind to people. And I love how you read for people. You know, I've been standing beside you when you were doing drive-by woo-woo. Oh, and people need to know that when you read for people, you don't tell me anything. I remember that time when our friend Dr. Bob had cancer. He never told me, but he told you. You never told me, and then he went and died on me. What was he thinking?
Yeah, well, you know, I really believe that my work is just like a doctor or a lawyer. Confidentiality is
sure
the most
do.
Important thing. And I know it's hard because you do my booking, but really, truly, that's the policy, you know. I don't tell you anything.
And I never tell you anything about the people when they come.
No, that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, and really for people who are looking for a reader, you know, that's one thing I forget sometimes because I have my own standard, you know, is to tell people, question, ask about the reader, look at their website, get testimonials, ask their refund policy, learn a lot about them. And, you know, also check with the Better Business Bureau, guys. Don't be afraid to really investigate. Don't just take 1-800 anybody because I don't think it's good. And don't get hooked on mediums. I just read for a couple that lost a child not long ago, and I could see the pattern setting in, you know, that they're going to go from medium to medium because they're still grieving desperately. And I really try to empower them that they can get information from their son directly and that, you know, to know that it's a stage of being sort of addicted, mm-hmm. of the need to hear from other people.
Well, what about the other
trust.
Man that paid $500 to a medium recently? It was like, whoa.
I know. I really, you know, please, people, don't go and hire someone to give you candles to get rid of a curse. Don't go pay someone to de-ghost your house. I would much rather you go on the internet and check out the ghost busting people that do it. There's a lot of ghost companies like Tapped and other ones that go in to investigate these kinds of things for free. And really know who you're inviting in your home. Do homework on them too. Don't invite just anybody in your home. But you should be able to, with the help of someone, to get rid of any kind of spirit that's not happy there without it costing you $5,000 and $6,000.
I remember somebody called you up once and she'd spent $10,000 and we're like, oh my gosh. If she just found you first, it would have cost her $100 and she would have had a reading that would have blown her socks off and helped her out.
Well, and I did not charge her. I did read for that woman. I did not charge her. And I also talked to her about turning in the person that took her for $10,000.
Okay.
That's not right. You know, our job is to help facilitate you communicating with your own own guides, angels, guides, and masters. And in fact, most of my clients, I don't let them call me for over a year. If you've had a reading, you have to go home and do some homework. You know, unless there's a crisis and Dom says it's okay, really, truly. Everybody needs to be about their work. Everybody has this gift, perhaps not as crazy as I do with, you know, hearing everybody in time. But everybody has a level that everybody can develop it. And that's one thing that's so wonderful about TV right now. Thank you, Spirit, for the TV. Because, you know, we have all these incredible... And if you have not seen the Lisa Williams, the new Lisa Williams, I think she's on Friday night. I'm sorry, I don't know the name.
Is it Thursday night?
No, it's Friday night because I don't get to see it because I'm doing my class.
Oh, it's after Ghost Whisperer.
Fabulous English medium. Fabulous. You should watch her, experience her abilities. Very different. And John Edwards, I liked her from the minute I saw her energy. So, but it's very exciting, you know. But on the other side of that coin is the new one that's pitting psychic against psychic, which I'm not thrilled about.
Mm.
You know, some of these reality shows, I think you're getting a little too out there for us.
But they have a strong hold, and also Lime Radio too. You know, they have psychic things and Hay House.
Right, and they're good. They're good interviews because they really make you ask questions. They have call-ins so you can... That's one thing that I like about the radio shows is that we do have call-ins so that you can, you know, get mini readings and check out the energy and see how things vibrate with you. But, you know, do your homework. It's important for this kind of profession especially because there's certainly... Well, in any profession there's fraud, but...
Well, let's go back to tips and tales
now. Tips and tales. We're all over the board.
Yesterday I jumped out of my car when I saw a lady was driving down the street and she was pushing two kids in a stroller and she had a dog. And I pulled over to the side of the road and I went running up to her. And I said, I do the pet tips and tales column. I'm looking for a dog. And she said, I recognize you. So here I'm a celebrity.
You are famous. At least at Cottage Grove, Oregon.
10,000 people. One more person knows me. Anyways, and I got the best tips and tales story from her. But her dog actually was barking one night. Her husband looked outside. He saw the truck door open. He went outside, and the dog took everything into her own paws. She ran up the end of the street, and she stood there, and she stared. He jumped in the truck. He went up to the direction she was staring. The police came, and they arrested armed burglars in her little tiny town who'd been stealing from cars all night long.
Well, thank God he called the cops because armed burglars could be not such a good scenario with
story.
Because the dog might not have been able to rescue him all the way.
What's really fun is when I went over to take a picture of the dog and the children at her home, she dressed them up in Halloween costumes, and the little girl she's 2 years old, and she put in a lime green Tinkerbell fluffy costume with a crown and a magic wand, and the little boy into firefighting pajamas, and the dog sat next to them on the couch. I have a picture that is like, I call myself Norma Rockwell, a Norma Rockwell picture. Even my husband came in, I said, look at this picture. And he just started to giggle. That's how cute it is.
Well, you know, I think that's a good point you just brought up, because I think we have really gotten away a little bit from these values that really Norman Rockwell was the example of. I actually bought a print of his not long ago that it's of... An incredible print that he did that has people of all nations.
Oh, beautiful.
And he's such a character artist that you could feel the energy of each of them, and it's just a magnificent print. But what he brought was the everyday normal family unit type things, the hometown doctor and the kids on the drugstore stools eating ice cream.
Captured moments.
Yeah, the life and moments of people in their childhood. And one thing that's what you do in Cottage Grove, because, you know, really, truly, we've gotten away from that. In fact, I was in somebody's house the other day, and I was like, stunned. I kept looking around the house, and I was going, like, they've got three kids. And there was not one picture of those kids in the house.
Wow.
And it was like, I don't like that.
She had pictures of my cats on every wall.
And they, honest to God, didn't know it till I mentioned it.
Dang.
And they go, well, we have all these digitals, and they're on the thing, on the computer. I said, yeah, but what does that tell the kids? That's not telling the kids how much you love them, that they're on the computer.
Time to get out the colored printer.
Yeah. So they were stunned, and they go, oh, my goodness, we need to do something about it. I said, yeah. I said, no offense, but a sterile house, you know. But they really, honest to God, didn't know it, you know. We have gotten so into just being different and, you know, living in, I don't know, a removedness that it's sort of shocking to me. I think it's very important that kids see pictures of them. And I think, I miss refrigerator art, you know.
Oh, fun.
I mean, you look at a lot of upwardly mobile $200,000, $300,000 houses, you go in there and they have kids, and you don't see refrigerator art anymore. You don't see, you know, the handprint ashtray somewhere laying around. I think we need to look back a little bit, guys, and grab some of those things that were really right in our parents' era and bring it back into the home. Those are, you know, that's how people know they're loved. We were talking about this with on another talk group, that the value of feeling part of a family and feeling treasured are these kinds of things. Show of emotion, show of, you know, I'm glad you're in my life. Even when I was traveling lately, I would, you know, you sit different next to different people and talk to them. And I really would ask people, that, you know, men or women or whoever I was sitting, do they have pictures of their kids? Women are really pretty good about it, but boy, men fail kids 101.
Or the pictures are 30 years old.
Well, it's a bad thing, guys. We need to be more responsible. And I absolutely fired two newlywed guys because they didn't have pictures of their wives. And you know, it's important. I said, and they go, well, you know, I have it on my, you know, my phone, and I have it on, you know, at my computer. In the office. I said, but, you know, guys, guess what? Start now, getting it right. He said, well, you know, but I love her, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, guys, but it's not about you. It's about our needs.
My poor husband, I took a picture of myself in there with me wearing angel wings, holding a cat wearing angel wings. How sophisticated is that? But I bet everybody smiles at it for some reason.
Absolutely. But I think we have to have a new consciousness. And I think it's very, very important. And for those of you who have people who are in this war that we're hoping and praying will be over very soon, you know, pictures mean so much. And don't just send them in the Internet. I actually send them to people in books and things, and so it really means a lot to people. Make them real. And it's not that much ink, guys. I think we had a call in. Did I lose you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Atira. It's Pat.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Mary Ellen. I have something that I have to share with you. You were just talking about putting the things from our children on our refrigerators and stuff. Well, not only do I have things that my grandchildren have made, but I also have a drawing that my daughter made for me, and she'll be 46 years old this month.
That's wonderful.
You get extra stars for mommy.
That's kind of like hanging on to, you know.
And Pat spooked me when I dropped into her place the first time. I think we've known each other about 11 years now through the Internet. I'd never been to her house. And I walked in there, and we're having a little visit, and I used the washroom, and I walked down the hallway. And she has pictures of my cats up on her walls.
Along with my cats.
Isn't that magic, though? It's
I'm like, wait, that cat's familiar.
That's fun. So. Pat, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, it really is important as grandparents and as parents to start new traditions, too, you know. So if people don't want to clutter their fridge, there are so many other ways to bring it in. I actually bought a friend of mine a desk calendar, and I started off with a couple people I knew, pictures that she would, you know, with their where their birth date was. And then I talked to her daughter, and I got all her grandkids, and I put all her grandkids' little pictures on that desk calendar on their birthdays with little things, hi, Grandma, different things. So there's lots of ways we can really show, you know?
You know, the other thing is...
is Pat still there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Pat, tell her about your miracle with your new little blue car.
Well, my husband is kind of, I'll try to shorten it down. My husband is a very special type of human being. He's a very kind, loving individual, and I'm so fortunate to be able to have him in my life. For the past 2 years, I have said I wanted a little Volkswagen Bug convertible. I just thought that it just looked like me, you know. And when the new ones came out, I liked those even better because to me they look like they just kind of need a hug every time I see one. So my birthday was last month, and anyhow, about a week or so after my birthday, Bill said to me, with a smile, this funny little smile, we're going to go to Tacoma on Saturday. And I said, oh, what for? He said, well, you'll find out. I said, you better tell me so I don't go in raggedy jeans or something, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we're going to go look at bugs. And I said, oh, yeah, like, with, yeah, oh, sure, uh-huh.
Yeah, like we can afford one, right?
Right, exactly. Well, what had happened is he had found on the Internet, because he is a total car nut, he was looking for Volkswagen convertibles. And he found one in Tacoma that was brand new, 2007, and it had 22 miles on it and was being sold for as a used car. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. Something's wrong with it. So we get up there, and the first thing I say, what's wrong with this? Why do you still have it? Well, here's the story. This car, which has every bell and whistle on it you could possibly imagine, was first prize in a contest that they were having. The person that won the car did not want it. So he bought it back from them, but they had titled it out to him. Therefore, they had to sell it as a used car. So the
That's
angels,
when you say, thank you, Spirit.
Yeah. So Spirit directed us towards a brand-new used car that wasn't, and we got it for considerably less than what we would have gotten it for if we paid for it brand-new.
That is such a great story. That is such a great story because, you know, sometimes we ask for something, but we put in a box how we're going to get it. You know, I want this, but it's got to look like this because that's the only way my mind can make it, you know, assume it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when we let go and let our angels in, it happens in such a great way.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes that car twice as much fun.
It's
oh,
so
yeah.
cute, too.
Oh, yes. In fact, a friend of ours called yesterday, and he said, Pat, how often have you driven your new little car? And I said, 3 times. My husband's driving it back and forth to work.
Oh, I thought it was just in the driveway and you were admiring it.
That's okay. You'll get custody back.
Oh, I tell you. So, and I get the biggest kick out of him as he, my husband is about 6'3".
How can he even fold into that?
He's all folded up in this car. But he's got the top down, and I think, well, not right these days he doesn't, but when
the weather was good.
There were a few decent days, and yeah. He's got the top down, and all you can see his teeth. He's smiling so wide.
Oh,
so.
That's wonderful.
Thanks
well, listen,
for
I
that.
Won't keep you, but I just wanted to call and share that.
Thank you so much.
Pictures on the refrigerator with you.
It's wonderful. And the car. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
Blessings, darling.
Oh, yeah. Take care, both of you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you.
You have nice listeners.
We do have nice listeners. But I tell you, the car story is so, so important to me because synchronicities like that are so important. And we get so caught up in, you know, my clients are always saying to me, that's a great segue, because my clients are always saying, Cherry, you say, you know, set intent, write out kind of what you desire to happen, what you're, you know, a manifesting thing, and focus on it. But I also say, put it out. I always say, I want Spirit, I'd like this to happen or better. Because, you know, if we just want it our way, sometimes Spirit says, you're working too hard.
Well, you should have seen my face the day the newspaper woman, I always thought I was going to do a miracle column. And she looks at me, she says, Mary, why don't you do this one? Because I'd given her 27 different ideas how they could have worked to improve their newsletter. And she points to an idea, and my mouth just hung open. She said, why don't you do this one here on pets? And I was like, no, but I wanted a miracle column.
But it has been a miracle for a lot of people.
But you know what's fun about it, Atira? A lot of people are healing. Yes, a lot of people never make it in the newspaper unless either they're dead or they've had a tragedy. And now I can take somebody who would never have an opportunity to be in the newspaper, not a politician, right. Not a sports fan, and actually give them a moment of being famous in town. and they can be 2, and they can be 82, and they all just love us.
Yeah, I think we beeped again. Hello.
Hi, Atira. It's Sue St. Jean from Maine.
Oh, hi.
How are you, honey?
I'm doing good.
Nice to speak with you. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Hello. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Listen, I was just listening to the show and talking about kids and pictures, and made me think of the story that I shared with you, Atira, about that friend of mine who kept her son's picture right up over her visor in the car and ended up, speaking of miracles, manifesting his face in the road.
That was so fabulous, yeah.
Yeah.
And when we, she actually showed me this picture, it blew me away. And I actually hope that they will send it to the Department of Phenomena, because it was so, absolutely clearly the face. In the road.
It's really helped so many people. It
yeah.
really, really has. And I try and share that with as many people as I can. And because a lot of people, you know, still don't believe in the life. And
by the way, the lady that we're speaking to is a very gifted psychic medium.
Oh, right. Thank you for that.
Yeah, very, very, very gifted. Yeah, and I love the opportunity to tell people about other gifted mediums because, you know, it's so important, the work. And there's no way one of us can do it all.
Yes,
so,
it's so kind how you share like that. It makes it more real.
Well, you know, I'm hungry for my species, too. I like to have someone else to say, oh, you know, that picture in the road, I get it, I see it, it's normal, too. And there were other energies in that picture, too, as well, you saw, that I saw, too. So it was very...
Yeah, it's interesting because Barbara, who is the mother, and the son's name is Keith, apparently his schnauzer is in the picture right below his face, and it's funny how different people can focus in and see it, and yet others can't, and particularly myself. I mean, I see his face clear as day. I'm the one that took the picture and, you know, saw it as it happened.
And you were on the way to see a medium. Was that not true?
Yeah. I was on the way to a spiritualist church here in Maine to serve, and it was actually... It was 2 days after his first year anniversary, and I had just gotten a digital camera, and he had channeled a song through another friend of mine for Barbara and the family, and so we were on our way up through, because she was going to be singing the song at church in honor of him on his first year anniversary. And he prompted me to take the camera out. So I did, and I just started taking pictures and stuff. And then all of a sudden, this song by Faith Hill came on. And as you guys well know, and many of you listeners out there know, you know, Spirit will use different electronics and things to let us know that they're with us. And the song by Faith Hill, Wherever You Are, I'll Be, I don't remember the exact title. And so, of course, Barbara could feel his energy, and she always keeps his picture right up over her visor. So as this is happening, I took a picture, and she's holding his picture as she's driving, and you can see she's feeling his energy in her aura. And the very next picture I took, she had pulled the picture of his face down a little bit and turned to me, but you could see his energy. Now, some non-believers would still say, yeah, right, you know.
No, but I tell you, if you see this picture, the digital picture you took, you can't say, oh, right, I don't see that picture.
Well, no,
we'd say that face, right on.
Like,
yeah, that face. I mean, even a non-believer, because I was like, how could you? I mean, it's like big as day. It's an incredible picture.
That was the third picture, about 3 minutes after, where you could see his energy. And the interesting thing, not to take up too much time, the interesting thing is that a couple of months after this particular incident happened, Barbara, you know, said, oh, my God, you're never going to believe this. I said, what? She says, well, I just listened to the first reading I had with you after meeting you at the Spiritualist Church, and this was a year before he manifested his face in the road, okay, that she came for the reading. And he said in that reading that he was going to do something that was going to help a lot of people to believe in the continuity of life.
That's
you know,
wonderful.
Send me the photo, and it would be fun to put in a newsletter and share with everybody.
Oh, I would, yeah. I would love that, actually, because, I, you know, any time that I share the story with someone and they see it,
it heals.
They get the goosebumps themselves.
And I got to tell you, how synchronistic is even this conversation? We're talking about a child who lost his life, the seeing of a picture, the actual having of his picture in the car, and the dog being in the animal being in it. And we've talked about every single thing of those components in this show.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think of that.
I know. Part. I mean, how synchronistic,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, that's true.
And no. Mediumship and how spirit communicates and how do we show up for people in their lives.
And that your pets can be with you on the other side, which most people want to be there with their pets, not their spouses.
That's probably more fact than fiction.
Well, on that note.
Thank you for calling. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh,
and
you too,
for those that are in Maine, what's your website? How do they get a hold of you, hon?
I don't have a website as of yet. My email is blovin@juno.com. That's blovin@juno, JUNO.com.
All right. Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Talk
such
to
a
soon.
Pleasure meeting you. And Mary Ellen, very nice speaking with you. And
you.
To all in the audience, God bless you. And Spirit is with you. Thank you.
Lovely.
Well, okay. It's that time again, Mary Ellen. Almost time for our close of our
minutes.
Show.
Got to go put the TV on.
I know. Yeah, yes. At 5 o'clock Seattle time, Pacific Standard Time. If you're on this coast, go to Evening Magazine to make sure you check out the swimming cats, the famous swimming cats. And please check our website at www.angelscribe.com.
I put the link of the show tonight on there so they can see it ahead of time.
Absolutely. And you'll see lots of other cute cat pictures, including my fluffy little boy, Mr. Perfect.
Well, I've got to put a Halloween picture on
and
there.
And thank you so much, Mary Ellen, for joining me today. And, you know, I wish for you, all those people listening in my listening audience, I hope you find your 35,000-year-old friend. She is a cross between Peter Pan, Mary Poppins, practically perfect. And I hope that you have a Mary Ellen in your life. She's really been a blessing and sister by choice, and I appreciate that. But more than that, she truly is an earth angel who does walk her talk and sees magic and miracles in every moment. So bless you, Mary Ellen.
Thank you. And Atira's, you're so special. Everybody listening knows how magical you are.
Thanks. So until we talk again, remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Blessings.
I often think that I grew up in a simpler time. After all, I had the most comfortable bed in the world, in a neighborhood full of two-wheelers, freckles, and pigtails. It was our first new home. I remember watching it being built. It seemed like it took a long time. But Dad said good things take time. And being the smartest man in the world, I knew he was right. And I wanted the same things for my family.
In addition to the G20, Infiniti offers a collection of luxury automobiles exhibiting a perfect balance of luxury and performance. And no matter what Infiniti you buy or lease, you will enjoy the benefits of the Infiniti total ownership experience. Our commitment to your complete satisfaction as an Infiniti owner. Capturing the innocence of a young heart, she is a delight to all who meet her. Paradise Galleries is proud to offer Jennifer exclusively through the Treasury Collection.
If you've been thinking about calling in sick, I'd recommend today. It's going to be gorgeous. If you need an excuse, have your boss give me a call.
When Maureen talks, people listen. Sale prices good through Tuesday.
This is the new look, new style cap.
This would go terrific with this black jumpsuit I got.
The silver corduroy.
The silver corduroy.
Raiders cap.
And the black lettering.
Los Angeles Raiders.
Yeah. Embroidered on there. Perfect with my black jumpsuit.
Would you wear it on dates?
Yeah.
With whom?
Hopefully one of the Raiders.
Hi. Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior and the new book, Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, and you're listening to BBS Radio.